Alive and Kicking with Claire McKenna on News Talk.
Now, Dr. Clodagh Campbell, known as the wellness psychologist on Instagram, has amassed a massive following for her qualified advice given in her soft and gentle manner. Her aim is to help people find an inner peace, one that she has cultivated for herself and the many people she has worked with in clinic. She's poured all of this learning into her book, The Steps, and she joins me in studio now. Clodagh, you're very welcome.
Hello.
I feel like you and I have been immersed in this book. I was at your press launch. I was at your publication day evening and I have read the book. So I'm so honoured that you came on the show to have a chat about it as well.
Oh, well, Claire, you've been such a special part of it and you have been just sharing me with love and kindness and thoughtfulness. So it's been a joy to have you on the journey. Thank you.
And we had such a lovely night, didn't we, at Windmill Quarter in Dublin. You had your mum there, your mother-in-law, your husband, your two little girls. It was really lovely and lots of people who love you, either people you'd never met before or special people in your life.
Yes. You know, Georgie Crawford said to me, Clodagh, when the book comes out, you will feel love like you've never felt before. And you know, you hear it and you take it in, but you can only experience it in the moment. It was so beautiful. And you know, last year I was pregnant with my third little girl when I was writing the book. And when I announced the news, everyone was like, you've not had just one baby this year. You know, you've two babies. And it felt like that. It felt like the love that came towards us when we've had our gorgeous girls. So it's a really, really special occasion. And I've really leaned into, people have said to me, you'll never launch your first book ever again. And I've really leaned into that and like soaked it up. And the stars aligned in that on Thursday night when we were on stage together, I just loved every minute. And that doesn't happen for me that often. I often get stage fright. So it was a really special night and I'll remember it forever.
One moment that sticks out was we had discussed inner child healing and connecting with yourself as a child. And mere moments later, your middle child, Lulu, is she three?
Four.
Four. Got up and had a little play of the piano, a little chat into the microphone. She looks very like you. She's blondie like you. So yeah, that's something that really sticks out in my mind. And fellow psychologist Katrina O'Sullivan was in the audience, put her hand up for a question. There were lots of special moments that will stay forever. But let's get into the book. Tell me about the idea coming and the idea of the book and the writing of it.
Oh, I can't tell you how often I have sat in the therapy room with somebody in front of me who has said, Clodagh, I'm desperate for help. How do I change this? You know, I'm trying to navigate grief and it's crippling me. My anxiety is debilitating. I've just broken up with my life partner. What do I do? How do I get through this? I'm headed for burnout. My mood is really low. How can I help myself? How can you help me? So there was just something in that for me. And psychology can be so hard to access for lots of reasons. Financially, it's expensive. There are wait lists. It's very, you know, you have to give a lot of your time and energy to it. So I just really felt so deeply within me, I need to bring this to people where they can just consume it and read it and soak it up in their home, in their free time, if they can't get into me in my therapy room. I felt that so strongly. You know, when I was writing it, I was thinking if I can just help one person who's sitting at home by themselves and who needs a hand to hold, if I can get my book to that one person, that's all that really matters. And the book just flowed. It was such a gorgeous experience. I've shared before that I was pregnant and I was really, really sick in the beginning of my pregnancy. So I'd nothing really planned for the year. You know, I was saying no to any of the opportunities that were coming into my inbox. And by the way, that was very hard. It was a very scary time because I was thinking, I've worked so hard to build up my business. Financially, how am I going to survive when I can't take on any work? But actually, it was such a blessing and such a blessing from the universe because I needed to slow down and I needed to write the book when I was feeling regulated and ready and in the zone. And it was gorgeous. It was so beautiful. So my children were, you know, off at school or daycare I had the space just to sit at home, light my candles, drink my cacao, and just give my all to it. And it just flowed. It was beautiful. And actually, it was very therapeutic. And while I was writing it, as well as writing it for every person who it finds its way to, I was writing it for me, for my inner child, for my inner teenager. For me, when I come home dysregulated, even now, you know, in the evening times where I need someone to remind me that everything's okay, there are no fires to put out. I was talking to one of my friends last night. It was 20 to 9 in the evening time. And she said, "Oh God, I think I can hear my boys. I think they've woken up. I just need a break. I just need time to myself." You know, that fear of, I finally thought that I could catch my breath. And that might be in work. It might be, you know, you have a Saturday 2 hours to yourself. It could be whatever situation you're in, and then something kind of almost happens to threaten that, because we're living such busy lives. The emails are dinging, the WhatsApp groups are pinging, we're running from meeting to meeting or commitment to commitment, and it just feels so much. And that impacts us. You know, I've been finding myself feeling a little bit irritated when people are emailing me recently, and they're like emailing me maybe on a Thursday and I'm not replying till the following, oh gosh, it could be the following Thursday. But in between that week, there could be 3 more emails saying, if you could just confirm, if you could come back to me. And it's not about them, they're doing their jobs. But the irritation is because I'm feeling dysregulated in the busyness at times. So that's who the book is for. I wrote that book for anyone listening that is like, I feel so seen and so heard and I need this book. You know, that's who I wrote it for.
And I was thinking, even when you were saying it, of the people that arrive to you in a therapy session and ask you all this how, they're ahead of the posse in many ways because they've taken that step to contact a psychologist, a psychotherapist, a therapist, and get some advice. There will be people who don't get to that point, and the book can just be on their bedside and something that they can pick up. And I think that's really important, because as you said, therapy isn't going to be accessible to everybody for so many reasons.
Yeah, and it's scary. Psychology and therapy is really scary. The thought of going into somebody and opening up to them, maybe people don't feel ready for that yet. So my idea behind the book is that people will read it. They will follow the steps, whether, you know, from 1 to 10, or whether they dip in and out and start at number 5, because I feel really drawn to that step today. Do the little exercises, listen to the meditations that I've audio recorded so that you can listen to them at home. But also when they've read the book, when they've done the exercises, that it lives on their bedside locker. I'm calling it their bedside Bible. And that when they've had a really difficult day and they need to lean into self-compassion, or they need to lean into nurturing their nervous system and regulating their nervous system and bringing themselves back down to earth or out of that fight or flight mode, that they can reach for it and that they can be reminded of, this is what I need to do here and now to help myself feel better. So
I did a piece on the show recently enough around grief and how we've changed the idea that we used to have of that the stages of grief happened as if it was this linear, you go through stage 1, stage 2, and then you end up at stage 10 and on you go with your life. You can easily slip back, need to do 3 again, go right back down. Is that the same with your steps? They don't necessarily have to be done in order, and it's not like you get to step 10 and then you go on to live your marvellous life.
Oh, that's absolutely the idea. And God knows, you know, I lost my own dad 11 and a half years ago. The grief can hit me in the middle of nowhere, out of nowhere. You know, I can be walking down the road and see something that reminds me of him, and I can feel the tears in my eyes. And it's on the big days, but also the little days. You know, when one of my little girls does something and I think, oh, he's missed out on so much because he never got to meet them. So absolutely, my book, The Steps, people can just engage with it and read it and do the exercises and the meditations in whatever way they feel drawn to, because we aren't necessarily ready for things in the order that they come to us in life, or like that, the grief stages, which I can never remember the order of, which is interesting in itself. You know, the anger can hit us out of nowhere, the denial, even now, gosh, you know, I can be hit with anger in relation to my dad's death, and it can really take me aback. So, you know, this might sound really corny or really egotistical even in a way, but I feel like the book is just a gift to people for when they really need that. And, you know, so often I will be, you know, living my daily life and something will come into my head that reminds me of somebody that has really helped me in the past. It could be a Reiki healer, it could be a therapist, it could be someone I've worked with, and I'll hear their voice and I'll remember that nugget that they gifted me that has really transformed things for me. You know, I would love if my voice could be, you know, the companion for the person that's reading the book, whether it is that they're literally listening to the audio recordings of the meditations or just that they're holding in mind my warmth or my compassion or just my guide, you know, the guides, guiding sentiments or exercises that I'm sharing with them.
Yeah. And, you know, your voice is evident throughout the flow of the book, because not only do you share your expertise, but you share a lot of your own personal story. How comfortable were you with that, allowing people into your private space? I suppose you do it through your Instagram also.
You know, when I was writing the book, as I said earlier, it was almost like I was writing it for myself in a way. And as funny as this may sound, I didn't think about the people that would be reading it. So I didn't censor myself in it. I just allowed whatever came to flow. And it was only when I sent off the final manuscript that I thought to myself, oh God, I've shared so much of myself. How are people going to perceive me in that? But now that I am getting the messages from people, Claire, they are saying, you know, I feel like this book was written for me. I'm crying, you know, two pages in, not because it's crippling me, but because the relief, the hope that I feel so seen. I know it's exactly what it is meant to be. And actually, I spoke to a reporter and she came to my house to interview me for one of the newspapers. And she started our interview by saying, I hate self-help books. And I thought to myself, oh gosh, how is this going to go? I actually felt quite panicked in that moment. She said to me, all my life, I struggled with anxiety and my mom, in her attempt to help me, bought me every single self-help book and I hated them. I always felt talked down to. I felt like they weren't achievable for me. Actually, they just made me feel really crap about myself. And she said, your book changed that for me because I felt like I wasn't alone anymore. You were in it with me. I felt normal. I felt human. I felt like you were holding my hand. And most importantly, I felt I could do the things that you were encouraging me to do. She said it was the biggest compliment she could ever give me. And that really stuck with me. So the book is exactly the way it's meant to be in every sense of the word. And yes, I'm sharing a lot of myself and a lot that makes me feel quite vulnerable when I think about it. But again, if that helps one person, that's all that matters. So I'm okay with it.
Something else you've said, and this isn't a sales pitch of yours, is that you would like the book to be gifted, that when you were planning the cover, you wanted it to be something that somebody might buy somebody else that they felt might need to read it without it having a title like, you know, you're not okay or you need help or something that might be triggering, that might be a really nice gift for somebody. Have you advice around that? Because it did come up at a launch as well. It was indeed Katrina O'Sullivan's question about getting books like these into the hands of men. The audience on Tuesday night or Thursday night was 90% female. We're getting a lot better at talking about our feelings, reaching for help, sharing our experience. And men are getting better. But what's your advice to somebody who wants to gift it to another person?
You know, someone very special in my life had a miscarriage recently. And, you know, I've been just wishing I could do one thing for her to help her just to feel a little bit less alone. And, you know, the way I'm saying to her, I wish I could change something. I wish I could help you in some small way. That's the moment, you know, where I hope people reach for the book, because we always want to give love, don't we? When something like that happens, when someone loses their dad or their mom or their relationship splits up or they're just having a really hard time at work, we want to give them something. So I would love if my book came to mind for people in that moment, because not only are we giving them love, we're giving them something that they can actually dive into when they feel ready to support them. And whether that is a sister, a mom, a friend, a daughter, or a husband, another half, a son. And the other thing as well is lots of parents are reaching out to me and they're saying, my 14-year-old daughter is really struggling with anxiety. Should I give the book to her? My response to those gorgeous people that are so caring about the other people in their lives is read it. Read it for her. And then if there's parts you'd like her to read as well, you know, offer it to her as well. But if we can understand these processes and if we can understand the things that we can do to look after ourselves, but also look after the other people in our lives, like that's very special and very powerful too and very meaningful too. So I would love that. You know, I remember recently somebody, a very big name in America in the kind of psychology world, said, I was going to call my book, It's Me, I'm the Problem, It's Me. And I think that comes from a Taylor Swift song, but she didn't want Taylor Swift to kind of detract from what was in the book. So I was like, oh gosh, that's a real lesson to me, because you can't hand your best friend a book that says, it's me, I'm the problem, it's me.
Yeah.
Because all of a sudden your best friend is going to be like, is this a very passive aggressive gift? So I wanted it, yes, to be very giftable and to be that gift that when we don't know what to do or we don't know what to give somebody, that the steps comes to mind.
Yeah, well, I can't recommend the book highly enough. It is called The Steps, 10 Lessons from Therapy on Healing, Finding Calm and Creating Inner Lasting Peace. Dr. Clodagh Campbell, the wellness psychologist, thank you so much for coming on.
Thank you for having me.
Alive and Kicking with Claire McKenna. Sunday morning at 8 on News Talk.